You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He could be a controversial figure, and he could be one of our favorite guests. It's Doug LeMaurice who joins us at Doug LeMaurice on Twitter. Good luck spelling it, though. And you, Doug, I tell you, it's always different when we talk to you. You think people have been a little bit too hard, according to a series of tweets. You've been you thought people were a little bit too hard on Hugh Jackson and the Browns on Sunday.
I don't know if I think they were too hard. I just think people are too wrapped up in, oh my gosh, like 1-18 now all of a sudden. That's it. Like 1-18, that's the line where it can't be tolerated anymore. And it feels like to me like people are drawing a line in the sand, like they have to get a win now. They have to get a win. And it's like, I don't, you know, they need to get better. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, they'll try to win next week. But, you know, this is part of the deal, man. I don't know what anybody thought this was going to be. They're trying to get better, but I don't think anything is they have to get a win week to week.
Doug, 1-18 is used as a rallying cry for those who want change and those who want them gone, and that will only grow stronger as it turns into 1-19 or 1-20. Good God, especially if it's 1-20. But that's the part because of who they're playing. They play the Bengals this week. The Bengals still have some talent. Who knows? Then they have the Jets coming up. That would mean 1-20 if they were to lose to both of those teams. It's not just that the record is what the record is. Some people expected that they might be a little bit better, but they knew it would take some time. But you lost to a team in a bad fashion that had every single reason to quit this week. You didn't look good doing it, and it raises some questions with the fan base.
Yeah, but I don't feel like that's part of the discussion as much. I mean, I think getting wrapped up, this is another season where getting wrapped up in the scoreboard on Sunday, I just think is not it, you know? And so, yeah, like if you want to get wrapped up in, did Jamar Taylor try his hardest? You know, why is everybody dropping the footballs? Like that's like, but I think those are the discussions you have, win or lose. If they would have somehow managed to pull that out, you still got to wonder why Kenny Britt only had 3 catches on 10 targets and why Jamar Taylor looked like he wasn't running hard on that play. So it's the evaluation of the scoreboard on Sunday and drawing lines in the sand. And yeah, there are issues here, but also, and I don't know what you guys have said every minute of every day, they didn't have Jamie Collins and Myles Garrett. So the defense looked terrible in the first half, but they also didn't have who should be their 2 best defensive players. So that sounds like an excuse, but it has to be part of the equation here too, right?
I think it's absolutely part of the equation. We're talking to Doug LeMaurice, terrific columnist over at the PlainDealerCleveland.com. My issue is, Doug, you know, young teams in this league lose games. 21-year-old quarterbacks in this league almost don't even exist, but when they do exist, they lose games. Mm-hmm. So if that's not the barometer, how are we to evaluate, and how is Jimmy Haslam, more importantly, going to evaluate not only the head coach, but the front office?
Progress that doesn't have to do with the scoreboard. I mean, like, I agree with everything you said right up until the butt. Like, young teams lose, especially young quarterbacks lose. But there's obviously ways to evaluate this team, evaluate the players, evaluate the front office, evaluate Hugh Jackson beyond the results on the scoreboard. Because I think, I mean, the defense was bad in the first half, right? I think if they have 4 drops instead of 8, they might win. So if Ricardo Lewis can catch a ball that DeShone Kizer puts on his hand down the sideline for a 40-yard reception that maybe would have been a touchdown, I think they might win. So the difference between we're freaking out or we're not freaking out is that Ricardo Lewis can't catch. Maybe our evaluation is Ricardo Lewis is not part of this going forward, but I'm not going to evaluate Hugh and the front office and every other part of this team because Ricardo Lewis dropped 4 balls.
But wait, Doug, what then, because we were talking about today, we asked the question to the fans, say something positive about Hugh Jackson, and we really, it was mostly tongue-in-cheek. Most every response we got from even diehard Browns fans and guys that loved Hugh and took up for Hugh this offseason, they couldn't really find anything to say nice. So I'd ask you my next question, Doug, what does a poorly coached football team look like? Does it look like the Browns right now?
Here's what I think about Hugh at the moment, and I think this is an interesting evaluation throughout this season. I think Hugh is a good coach Monday through Saturday, and I don't think he looks like a good coach on Sunday a lot of the times. Now, I know that's all connected, But I think, like, if the guys like him and people are trying to believe despite the record and kind of having an optimistic front and all that kind of stuff, I think he does better than a lot of guys would. And then it seems like on Sunday, his play calls, sometimes you wonder what he's doing. He's not doing enough to help Kizer out. And then, you know, the defensive side of the ball, I mean, that's not – Greg Williams is the savior, right? Greg Williams is the savior, and they gave up 28 points in the first half. So, you know, I don't know what to say about that, but I think Hugh is doing some good things. But clearly on Sunday, it feels like he can make better decisions.
Yeah, but Doug, that scene, you just said it, it's all connected. So if it's all connected, eventually the Sunday results will have to do with, or have something to do with, how they feel about him Monday through Saturday. If they don't feel that he's, if the players start to give up on him and start to wonder about him, then Monday through Saturday is going to be inconsequential. They'll just lose on Sunday, and then they'll get another coach in there.
Let me ask this about, and I was having this debate with people in the hallway, and what you just mentioned about the players giving up, right? It feels like sometimes like people act this is happening to the players instead of that the players are doing this. Who's going to be mad? The guys in that locker room are either young guys on the way up, right? And so if there are veterans doing a lousy job, then Myles Garrett and Jabril Peppers and DeShone Kizer and everybody who's part of the rebuild should say, well, the heck with those guys, we're going to take this over and we're going to rebuild this. And if you're a veteran guy who's not getting it done, I mean, what, is Kenny Britt going to be mad that they lost? Kenny Britt got $8 million to catch three balls. So who's mad? Who are the veteran players in that locker room who are going to be disgusted by the losing and say, I can't take this anymore? It's your fault. I mean, there's Joe Thomas. Who else? Jamie Collins, who was hurt. So, who's going to give up? They're the ones that are doing it. I don't understand the idea of you're going to lose the players. You're not going to lose Myles Garrett because Myles Garrett's going to say, I'm tired of this. I'm going to do something about it because I'm a young guy who's going to get this turned around. He's not going to give up. And if you're a veteran, you're making the mistakes that make you lose. I don't care if you're mad.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. So where do I go from here? You make a convincing argument. I understand that. But where do I go from here? Because people are going to have – I don't think – I'm not talking about the guy getting fired just yet, but they have to have somebody that they can rail against or somebody that they're going to have to put it on. And I would say 10 out of 10 times it's always going to be the head coach. So eventually in the offseason we realize it's players, or maybe midweek we realize it's players. But on a Monday morning after a loss like that, you know they're going to put it on the head coach. He knows they're going to put it on the head coach. Did you or did you not hear a different type of Hugh Jackson – last week getting ready for the Colts instead of the weeks previous?
I don't know. I just don't know why anybody – I mean, this is year two. You can't do it for 10 years and excuse the Sundays for 10 years. I get that. But to me, this is the second and last year of excusing the Sundays in pursuit of a bigger goal. I think Hugh has to buck up sometimes. Like, a little – sometimes he gets too sad to me. It's like, I know you guys did your best, Hugh, but you're still in the process of gathering all the pieces to have the best shot on Sunday. You just still don't quite have it right now. But it's still a work in progress. You know, you guys were down 17. I thought Hugh did a good job using the timeout. They got back within, you know, 3 points at the end. They didn't give up. You know, I mean, there are things there. So I understand Hugh wants to win, but the idea of who you're going to blame on Monday, I just would tell people this is still one more year of not blaming anybody, because Sunday this year is not the ultimate goal. Evaluate Kizer. Evaluate Hugh's decision-making. Evaluate individual performances, but don't let the final score on the scoreboard be the end-all, be-all that makes you go crazy for 6 days because they lost, because that's still not the ultimate thing right this second.
Doug LaMaurice with us. Interesting perspective on all of this and the loss to the Indianapolis Colts over the weekend. Okay, so they have a critical decision to make at the end of the year, and I don't think people are understanding just how critical this is, because there is a big-time quarterback draft class coming out, supposedly ranked higher than the last three. Okay,
Supposedly,
right. We do this all the time because Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were supposedly terrible, and that was a bad class, and you know those guys look pretty darn good right now. But either way, you have a unbelievable opportunity with all the draft picks, and you're also sitting there knowing you're probably not going to have a good season. You're going to have every asset in the world, an opportunity to go up and get the number one quarterback in the draft. But You've got a guy, DeShone Kizer, who they took where they did, who they now have to evaluate throughout the season. But knowing, like you said, those wide receivers around him almost make it impossible to evaluate him. If you're the Browns, how do you go about evaluating this quarterback this year?
Eyeballs, and how he handles himself during the week. I think it was maybe someone tweeted to one of you guys, like DeShone, where he ranks statistically. I don't care what his stats are. I don't care what his interceptions numbers are. I don't care what his completion percentage is. They had 8 drops. Throw the completion percentage away. It's ridiculous. It's not about stats, and it's not about wins. It's, does he handle himself? Does he make throws? Does he read defenses? Does he look comfortable in the pocket? Is he confident? Does he give up when they get down? Does he rally his teammates? Do people look like they believe in him? Does he have the arm to do it? There's a million things that you can evaluate him on. And you can evaluate him and think, if we don't use the early pick on a quarterback, potentially 2 early picks, what else can we do that's going to make him better? What if they get, you know, an A.J. Green, Julio Jones type of receiver in the first 10 picks? That's going to help him. What if they do this? What if they do that? They built a lot on the defense. What if they get the equivalent of Garrett and Peppers on the offensive side of the ball? What do you think that might do? So I think you absolutely can evaluate DeShone Kizer. I just would not look at a stat, and I would not look at a record while I was doing it.
Doug, that's where I'm going to agree with you on. I absolutely agree with you on that. I wish we had more time. We do got to run. We thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the best.
See you guys.
Doug LaMaurice, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.